Okay, everybody can hear? Yes?
Yes.
Good. So let's begin. So, yeah. So last week we were discussing the Gemara, doing some of the, social justice Gemara, as we can call them. So we're discussing the Gemara here on Daf Ches on the base, which discusses tzedakah, and the Gemara basically, just to get us back to where we were, the Gemara basically says that, collecting tzedakah is an art, and, allocating tzedakah is something which is, governed, monitored by, rules of the halacha, and also, collection in the sense of kfiya. Is a topic. So the Gemara here, just very quickly again, speaks about Kupa Shol Tzedaka Nigves Bishnayim Miskalekas Begimel Nigves Bishnayim She'ein Osin Sroros Alatzibur Pachas Mishnayim Miskalekas Begimel Kedine Maminas. So the Gemara says that what's for our purposes important is that collecting tzedakah requires two people, because that is an act of Srora. That's an act of authority. And therefore, it requires, more than one individual. The Gemara examines this a couple of lines later. Amar Mar Einosin Sroros Alatzibur B'Pachos Mishnayim. The Gemara says, "Minani Mili." How do you know this? And the Gemara discusses the source. Amar Nachman Amar Krav V'Him Yikhuas HaZahav Yikhuas Plural Sroros Hu Dela Avdi HaHemuni Mehemen Misayla L'Rab Chanina Dem Rab Chanina Ma'isa Mina Rabbi. Shnei Achin ala Kupa. You can have two brothers, but you need two. Then the Gemara examines it more fully. Mai Srarusa. In what sense is this really Srara? All you're doing is collecting charity. That's Srara. So the Gemara says, Amrav Nachman, Amrav Aravu, ala Pisha Mimashkinin, ala Tzedakah, afilu be'erev Shabbos. Because Tzedakah can include sometimes a more forceful approach. Even Erev Shabbos, it's justified for one to, to walk into somebody else's property and to collect what that person is obligated to give. Very fascinating Gemara. What's a pshat afilo Erev Shabbos? Or Rashi says, even though we're all trudim on Erev Shabbos, getting ready for Shabbos, so you might think that would be a point in time in which it would be inappropriate to collect, and certainly forcibly. And of course, all things being equal, it is, just to make it clear. The Gemara is saying that the Gaboy Tzedakah have this capacity. Obviously, there's a sensitivity in collecting Tzedakah, both to be effective and also not to embarrass people or to put them in a bad situation. So what the Gemara is saying is, you can resort to this, if necessary, if there's a deadline, if the person is evading, especially if he's evading in the name of his, scrupulous Shmirat Shabbos. So, but obviously this is something that you don't, ideally resort to if you don't have to. But Mimashkin Alat Tzedakah, Pillar of Shabbos, shows you that Gvias Tzedakah is an act of Srara. Then the Gemara says, Eini Vaksiv Upakarati Al Kol Lo Chatzav, that... Rabbanu Shalom says that he doesn't like when one human being pressures another, and that he himself is going to favor and protect the person who is the victim of undue pressure. How does that fit in with the idea that there can be kfiya b'tzedaka and afilu mimashkin in Be'erev Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel. This statement, before we get to the answer, strengthen the question. This statement refers even to Gaboy Tzedakah, who pressure other people to give tzedakah. So how does it fit? I mean, you can collect forcibly, but you can't, pressure the person. And the Rabbon Shalom has like special hashgacha that he visits upon the victims of this kind of pressure. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, ha da amid, ha da lo amid. That's a very big chiluk. Of course, a very difficult distinction to define, you know, amid means wealthy. If somebody is wealthy, he has the means, the wherewithal, then we perceive his lack of cooperation to be evading his responsibility of tzedakah. And, you know, that is something which can be met with force. You know, that's what the Gemara is saying. However, if somebody doesn't have the means and the wherewithal, then pressuring him is doesn't mean he's poor. It could just mean that you're pressuring him, you know, beyond his means. And that's, you know, not appropriate either. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, that they know. So obviously, you have to be very sensitive, you know, when it comes to this particular issue. On the one hand, there's a clear sense of responsibility and obligation, which we'll examine more fully as we began last week, but we're going to continue with that tonight. And at the same time, as I say, there's a sensitivity to not overstepping either. So that's the Gemara here. Then the Gemara illustrates it by saying, Ki hod Rava ach be l'Rav Nosan bar Ami, right? Rava coerced, it sounds like, or pressured Rav Nosan, or enforced the collection of Rav Nosan bar Ami, v'shakol minei arba mea zuze l'tzedakah. And he confiscated from him, he took from him, I guess this was the assessment of what he would have been based on his wherewithal able to contribute. He took 400 zuzi from him. That's, you know, apparently that's a lot of money. So there is kfiya b'tzedaka. Okay, so this is the Gemara, very interesting, this dialectic of upakadati alo chatzav on the one hand, and kofin umemashkinin afilu ber of Shabbos, this interesting dialectic, hod amid, hod lo amid, is what emerges from the Gemara. The Rishonim, as we discussed last week, were troubled by a Gemara in Chulin. And just look at Tosis again very quickly. Bim tomar ha perikal basar, amar komatase shamatin skara ksuva b'tzeda, ein bezen shamatin muzharim aleha. V'gabei tztaka ksiv ki pasach tiftach es yadcha, lo, uksiv ki biglal hadavar zeh yivarechacha. We can add the extra words, Hashem Elokecha. So what the Tosis is asking is, the Gemara in Chulin has a principle that whenever the Torah itself explicates punishment or reward, that, you know, Bezen Shamata doesn't get involved. Well, that's a pashtus, meaning the Rabbanu Shalom is telling you what's involved. So if you want to risk his wrath, or if you want to ignore like the opportunity of his bracha, you know, your loss. That's basically the idea. Kol mitzvah aseh shamata tzchora b'tzeda, right? Ein bezen shel mata muzharin aleha. So the question is, since it seems like the mitzvah aseh of tzedakah, which Tosis quotes as kipatoach, kipasoach tiftach es yadcha, some people think it's Noson Titein Lo. It's in the same Parsha and Re. We'll discuss the Parsha in a minute. Anyways, there is a mitzase. Is it Matan Schara Betzeda? So Tosa says, yeah, because in a rare departure, the Torah says, you know, what exactly is going to happen if you do this mitzvah. Ki yivarechacha Hashem alokecha. Just like Kabin Avichav, Kabin Savichav Yasimecha. Laman Yarichun Yamecha, or, you know, other things, Hanik Tanik Lo, right? It's, you know, sometimes the Torah it spells that out. So if that's the case, how can there be kfiya? This seems to be against the principle of the Gemara Chulin. So what we spent last week doing was out discussing and analyzing a little bit the different answers that we find in, you know, to this question. So in our Tosis itself, there are four answers. The first one is that Tosis suggests that even though the Gemara here seems to be speaking about kfiya, it's not really kfiya, it's not legal kfiya, it's verbal kfiya. It's, you know, extreme persuasion, maybe even hassling the person or, you know, haranguing him a little bit. But it falls short of what the Gemara in Chulin disallows. Right? The Gemara in Chulin says, Ein bezin shamata muzarin aleha. This isn't a matter of bezin. This is just a matter of pressure, verbal pressure. Okay. It's not the simple pshat of the Gemara, but the Gemara basically is saying the assumption of the question is correct. Namely, A, this is a mitzvah se shamata tzar b'tzeda. B, the normal rule, which is Ein bezin muzarin, will apply. That's the first answer. Second answer of Tosas is, similar in that, you know, the two assumptions I just mentioned hold, but the answer that Tosas gives is a little bit different. Tosas says we're talking about a situation in the Gemara where the obligation to give tzedakah has nothing to do with the mitzvah saseh of pasok tiftach or nason titein. It's a separate hischaibus that people in the community made. You know, it's everybody pledged, whether it's a neder or whatever it is, or there was an imposition on the community. It's kind of like a tzedakah tax. So that doesn't come under the rubric of mitzvah seishas matan schar b'tzeda. That's a separate independent obligation based on hischaibus or neder or something like that. And therefore it's not covered, you know, by the principle of the Gemara Nechul. Okay, those are similar answers. One says it's not real kviya. The other says it's not real tzedakah. You know, but the principles embraced by these two answers are the same. Namely, actual tzedakah really is not subject to kviya. That's what emerges from these two answers. A fourth answer that Tosas gives, I know I only gave two so far, but the fourth answer that Tosas gives in the name of the Ritzvah, is that we should reevaluate what the Gemara says in Chulin. Because when the Gemara says, Mitzvah Seh Shematan Skar B'Tzeda Ein Bezin Shemata Muzharin Alav, the word Muzharin is a tricky word. So maybe what it means is not that there's no Kfiya, but that there's no Onesh. Meaning, and that's what the Yerushalmi seems to say, and that's what the Ritzvah says the words of the Gemara mean, meaning you can't be manish, you can't inflict punishment. That doesn't mean you can't confiscate, right? It just means you can't corporally, physically punish. The Gemara says in Nixuvis that, you know, Bezin has the right to impose corporal punishment if you, in some obviously emphatic way, ignore or bypass or negate, you know, a mitzvah saseh, you know, like a dalad minim or a sukkah, you know, kofen oso benafsho. But is that true, you know, with regard to tzedakah? The answer is no, because it's, you know, matan schara b'tzeda. So ein bezin shamata muzharin aleha. So there's no actual physical punishment. But that doesn't mean that there isn't economic enforcement. Economic enforcement is less than physical punishment. And therefore, the Gemara in Chulin doesn't, you know, reject that. So according to the fourth answer of Tosas, there is kviya b'tzedakah. There's just not onish b'tzedakah. The third answer of Tosas, which I put out of order because I think it's the most curious, as we discussed last week, is the Re. Right? The Re says, I'll just read that one. Ulaminira de Bitstaka Kofin, Mishum de Ispalav, the Ksiv Lota Metzis Livavcha, below Tikpos. Tosas doesn't explain further. Tosas says, if there was only the Mitzvah Saseh, then in Achanami, there would be no Kfiya Bitstaka because Matan Tsar Bitseida, and therefore, you know, it doesn't show matan muzarin alav. However, since there's a lav, that changes the equation. Is it the fact that there's a lav, or is it the nature of the lav? Or is it the fact, you know, that there is a lav itself reflects on the nature of the lav? I'll explain in a minute. So, you know, the basic idea the basic problem is as follows. Are we saying, is Tosas, you know, projecting a klal that says that the Gemara Nechulin's rule that only applies to things that are exclusively a mitzvah saseh. Anything that has an aseh in a lav, that rule doesn't apply. If that's an across the board rule, then we have two problems with it. Number one, the logic behind it, because if the logic of Ein Bezen Shematim Usar Nala is that the Rabbeinu Shalom told you what's at stake, so, you know, it's up to you now. You want to lose out on the tremendous, explicit L'man Yivarechacha? Or do you want to court disaster because he told you he's going to give you a specific onesh, if that's the case? What does it have to do with whether the formulated din is only a mitzvah sase or an asay in a lav? In the end of the day, the logic is the same. That's problem number one. Problem number two, yeah, we discussed all this last week. Problem number two is our cases, including Hanek Tanik, as I think I mentioned, where the Torah seems to treat it as Matan's Har B'Tzeina, even though there's an asay in a lav. Hanek Tanik, right? B'lo Yishalchanu Reikam. And this is a question that the Achronim, like Mishnah Lamelech and others, ask. They say, I don't get it. According to the Re, you know, none of these cases, aren't so many of them, but these cases should not qualify for Matan's Har B'Tzeina, but it seems like the Makoros establish that they do. So if there either there is such a rule or there's no such rule, what is Tosa saying? So I'm going to try to explain in a couple of more minutes, after a little more of a digression, a couple of digressions, that maybe Tosas doesn't mean this, you know, as a formula per se. It's not, oh, whenever there's an asay in a lav, we don't apply this rule. It's that typically when there's an asay in a lav, that implies two mechayiv.
Right.
And maybe the mechayiv, one of these mechayivim, one of these aspects or themes is itself not conducive to this principle. And I'll explain what I mean in just a minute. And if that's the case, then there could be different models or scenarios where you have an asay and a lav. Not every asay lav combination is the same, right? On two levels. I'll explain more in a minute, but just preliminarily. Number one, when you have an asay and a lav, right, are they two different themes, like I said before? Or is, you know, they're really one theme, and in which case, which is the main theme, the asay or the lav? Meaning the asay is encouraging you even further to avoid the lav, or the lav is telling you if you mess up this asay, you're going to get even, you know, more of a punishment. Is it about the squandered opportunity, or is it about, you know, some sort of a ma'isa aveira? So yesh v'yesh v'yesh, right? In the pairs, in the world of minyan mitzvos, when there are, you know, when there's a pair of asay and alav, you know, they're not always the same. Sometimes they're two different ideas, and sometimes it's one idea. Sometimes that one idea, you know, was crystallized in the asay and reinforced in the lav, in the onesh of ignoring it. And sometimes it's the opposite. It's, you know, there's even a positive obligation to avoid the lav. So we'll get back to that. Like in Shabbos, I'll give you the example of Shabbos. Right? Shabbos is an asay and a lav. Right? Are those two different ideas? We discussed this in the past. I'm sure it'll come up again in the future. There are two different ideas on asay and a lav. Right? Or it's all about the lav, you know, in the asay. You know, reinforces it more. Or the opposite way. Is that say in lav of Shabbos and the say in lav of Yontif the same in that respect? Right? So that's number one. Not all Essen and Lavin pairs are identical. Number two, maybe it isn't the fact that there's an say in lav, it's the particular added or enhanced theme itself by virtue of the lav. In other words, maybe this is something very specific to tzedakah, but then we need to know what that means. The fact that tzedakah has a lav, which we might not have anticipated, and the lav, you know, whether it's lo tikpo tzedakah or lo ta'ameh tzedakavcha, that's what makes it immune to the impact of mitzvah seh shematan tzar b'tzeinah. OK? Okay, but we'll explain in a minute. I'll explain it better in a minute. Just trying to explain it structurally a little bit before I'm trying to explain it substantively, as you'll see. Okay, so in order to understand all of this, I wanted to, you know, I mentioned two other perspectives last time, either that maybe there's a difference between a chovas hayachid and a chovas hatzibur, maybe this rule doesn't exempt you from a chovas hatzibur, maybe tzedakah is a chovas hatzibur. That's something I mentioned in the name of the Rav. Another possibility, maybe it isn't matan schar b'tzeda. That's the idea of the Rashash, that l'man yivarecha Hashem elokecha refers not to the mitzvah of tzedakah. Maybe it refers to lo yeira levavcha b'sitchala, which we talked about last time, you know, as well. The Ramban and the Smag who count it separately minyan mitzvahs. Even if you don't count it separately minyan mitzvahs, so it's only an aspect of the sinas tzedakah. What is it? So is it, you know, titen lo b'sever panim yafos, you know, the attitude and empathy expressed when you, you know, actually give tzedakah? Or is it more about, you know, looking in the mirror and evaluating your own act of philanthropy? Like, you know, should you be looking at philanthropy and saying, oh, yeah, yeah, or good for me, either way, I've sacrificed so much, you know, I've really, given up, I've sacrificed, I've, you know, made a huge concession, you know, for someone else. I'm really altruistic. Or you shouldn't be looking at it that way. You should be looking at, you know, this is something which is going to come out good and maybe even as an opportunity. That's the Ramban's, you know, idea. So the point is that the Rashash holds that Lamani Varecha Hashem Elokecha, very, very remarkable idea, that Lamani Varecha Hashem Elokecha, a rare time when the Torah itself explicates schar, that is, that, you know, is related to the either empathy part or the self-image or the self-assessment of, you know, what it means to give tzedakah, not on the mitzvah. In which case the mitzvah is subject to kviya, because the mitzvah isn't matan schar b'tzeda, just an aspect of your perspective, you know, your attitudinal, you know, posture, meaning either le'er levadcha b'sidchalo of the smag or le'er levadcha of the Ramban, that's what's matan schar b'tzeda. Okay, so these are different perspectives. But then I turn to the ritva, which is really what I want to zero in on, and I want to use that to get back to the Ri. So the Ritva here in, let's go back to that. We started discussing it last time. The Ritva in Bava Basra. Second. Yeah. Oh, do I not have the Ritva in Bava Basra? Oh, okay. The Ritva and Rosh Hashanah we'll use, and I think I have one in Rosh Hashanah and Ksuvas. The Ritva and Rosh Hashanah, the Vavo Men Aleph, says as follows. Tema, Eich me mashkin al tzedakah, da mitzal seh shel matan schar b'teida, ben bezvar, bezim zar malaha, b'tiris, the same question, b'tiris b'Yerushalmi, this is on the bottom of page 1, yeah?
Yeah, it's line 32.
Okay, great. B'tiris b'Yerushalmi, ein bezim anashin aleh, klomar, b'zar in him lakuf, right? Meaning Bezdin, it's up to them. Right? They could choose, you know, not to be kofa. Typically, Bezdin is supposed to be kofa. They're obligated to be kofa. And here they're not. Okay, that's a little bit of a different answer. The Omer Rabbeinu Neru, this is what I'm really interested in, and this is a reference undoubtedly again to the Ra'ah, who's the prime Rebbe of the Ritva. Again, something which isn't sufficiently appreciated, but it gets, you know, once you're looking for it, you see it again and again and again and again. So the Ra'ah says a different answer. The Gemara Dilan Leisan Haisvara, the Lakomet Haseisha Magnus Chor Kasa B'Tzeda Ein Bezim Sarum Kal.
A person who wasn't mechabed his mother and his father,
When Rav Nachman kaftia, he said, tie him up, you know, force him, punish him. So how then can you force tzedakah if you can't enforce or punish for kibbutz? Tirutz Rabbeinu the shiny hacha. This is the key lines. The goli beikra. This is a special exception in the Torah. The Torah was megale kra. The Torah says, Viasisa. Viasisa means force someone. Bezdin is being commanded or warned, Sheyasucha, that they should impose and enforce this requirement. Tzedakah. Below Garmina Mine Alma. It's not so simple to say. Once you say it's a Xeris HaKosov, it's a Gili Milsa, it's an exception already, okay, fine. But we want to know, for curious people, like the next question is, why is it an exception? Or another way to ask the same question is, why don't we learn from it? Why isn't it a paradigm, for everything else? So here's where you get the best part. So the answer is So what Ritva says is that this is not a mitzvah, not only, it is a mitzvah, but it's not only a mitzvah. Lav mishum mitzvah derami aleh bilchud kaifinan, right? But it's a chiyuv l'gavoa or l'aniyah. K'shem shakofen l'froa ma'ashachayiv l'hejod, sh'lo yekoh hejod chomer mehekdash. Now again, does the Ritva here mean that it's only a neder, only a case where you were miskayev, or is he describing chiyuv tzedakah across the board? From this Ritva in Rosh Hashanah, you could have said that it's limited to a case where he was no der, that it's less of a chiddush. But if you look at the Ritva in Ksuvos, he addresses this question. That is on page 2. What number?
Line
7. Oh,
sorry,
no,
line
12. 12? Yeah. Pirish midin tzedakah. The Afal Gav, says the Ritva, the Hava mitzvah se shematan tzchor b'tzeda, the Kaimalon, the komitzvah se shematan tzchor b'tzeda, ein beznin uzharin alaha, hasam hu b'shar mitzvos. That's when it comes to other mitzvos. Kagon kibudav, aim, kiyotza bazet, Avalin and Tzedaka Kaifinan, listen, Bipnei Machsoram Shalaniyim, because of the need, right, and the deficiency experienced by the Ani. The need of the Ani somehow makes Tzedaka an exception to the rule of Matan Tzchor B'Tzeda. It's not like kibud avim because of the machsoram shel ani. Does that mean? Ukid kasav rachman of yasisa. Notice exactly what he wrote now in Rosh Hashanah, that it's based on a xeris hakasuv. Yasisa bezdin will impose, will be kofa. Azar lebezdin shiasucha. Then he adds, and this is the missing piece, if you will, in Rosh Hashanah, Divrei HaRitva Aniyim B'Makam Echad V'Ashirim B'Makam Acher. So in this case, when you read them together, you get the fuller picture. Afal Gav Dahu Gabe Noder Ksiv. Right? The Gemara V'Yasisa and the description in Rosh Hashanah may have to do with the commitment to give tzedakah, being Noder L'Tzedakah. So maybe that's an exception. But what about the obligation without a neder, just to give a certain amount, or a certain percentage, a certain whatever? So it says the Ritva, it's true, that's what's written. Goli rachmana b'tzedakah shehotzi mipiv. Even though the context is nidrei tzedaka, and you could have said that just a din in hilchos nedarim. But see, that's the question. You have something like nidrei tzedaka, which of course ups the ante. It's an added dimension, right? So there are, you know, basically two ways to look at it. One way is to say, well, tzedaka is what you're being noder, but it's the din in hilchos nedarim, basically. You know, if you were noder something else, the same thing would be true. You know, you can't, are nidrei tzedaka, do they belong? We could structurally present the question like this. You know, if you're the Rambam and you're writing, you know, about nidrei tzedaka, where are you going to put it? You're going to put it in Sefer HaFla and Hilchos Nedarim? Or does it belong in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim with the other dinim of tzedaka? Right? So that's kind, I'm not, there might be, for organizational reasons, there might be, you know, that might distract us a little bit, you know, but which is a way to put it. But I'm talking about conceptually. Where would you put it? So what the Ritva is being mechadesh here is that even though the Pasuk Biasisa and the initial description in Masechet Rosh Hashanah of why Biasisa, you know, is an exception to Matan Zchor B'Tzeda, could have left us with the impression that it's all a din and neder. And it's only in a case where you know there. But that would be wrong. Because nidrei tzedakah conceptually also are part of the dinam of tzedakah. And mid nidrei tzedakah, nishma l'chiyuv tzedakah k'mitzvah saseh. That even the regular mitzvah saseh of tzedakah is not matan zchor b'tzeda. That's unbelievable. That's what he says. Right? One more time. Alpha gav dahu gobe noder ksiv. Goli rachmana bitzdaka shahotzi mipiv. It's still a tzedakah. It's just a tzedakah shahotzi mipiv. Right? It's not dominated by the neder part. It's dominated by the tzedakah part, at least this aspect. But who had in the cold tzedakah? Namely what? It's mishum machsorim shani, which is why he's emphasizing it that way anyway, meaning, you could, if it's like about Nadarim, it's about his Chaybus. It's because he promised and he has to keep his neder. But Mishum Machsorim Shalaniyim is maybe why he promised, and maybe that will fill in like what his intention was and therefore the scope of his obligation. But the Machsorim Shalaniyim isn't the Machayiv, the Machsorim Shalaniyim is the, you know, the framework of explaining or applying his commitment. Says the Ritva in Ksuvis, that's not the case, or that's not fully the case. Really, 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 nidrei tzedaka or tzedaka din, or at least this part of it is a tzedaka din, and it's based also on machsorim shalaniyim. But that, of course, is the core idea behind the mitzvaseh of tzedakah. Forget about beficha, zu tzedakah, or viasisa, right? This is noson tite. This is pasoach tiftach. So this is a very big chiddush in the Ritva. In addition to, so there's a double chiddush in the Ritva. Let me just say that. Well, before we finish reading it for a minute. I'll get back to that. So as I say, there is a double chiddush in the Ritva, an integrated double chiddush. One is that the law that the when it comes to these halachos, there's no difference between nidrei tzedaka and tzedaka itself. By the way, in that it's a parallel to an issue that we discussed a couple of weeks ago. Right, when we were talking about pidgin shvuyim, so we discussed the fact that the marik and it ends up getting codified in Yoredeya, right, says that although the debate is what does it mean, you know, that if a person gives money for pidgin shvuyim, it doesn't fulfill his obligation of tzedakah. So the Taz, you know, was suggesting. Initially, then he rejects it in the end. Maybe this is only a din in nidrei tzedakah because of, you know, l'shon b'nei adam, you know, it's what he meant. It's not objectively pidgin shvuyim is tzedakah, but most people, when they say tzedakah, they mean a shul, a mikvah, a yeshiva, a niyim. They don't mean pidgin shvuyim usually. So the Taz says maybe it's different. But in the end, he rejects it. But so this is, so Kiddush number one is here that, you know, a din in Nidre, Tzedakah, and Bipiv, in Yaasucha, Biasisa, and so on, really, really is informed by Hilchot Tzedakah, not so much by what's unique about Nidre, Tzedakah. Number one. Number two, bigger Kiddush, that this common denominator of Nidre and actual mitzvahs, Tzedakah, the Mechayiv is Machsoram Shalaniyim. And since it's Machsoram Shalaniyim, now let's go back to the language in Rosh Hashanah, right? Hochalab Mishim Mitzvah de Rami Lechud, Elamipne Shechiv Atmo, or Shechayiv Atmo, Chiv Atmo, Unachosav Legavoa Olaniyim. Kashem Shakofin Lefroma Shachayev Lahejot, Shleikoach Hejot, Chomri Hekdesh. Again, if this were only a din in the Darim, you could say, well, he just made his Kaibus. I can borrow money from somebody and then I have to pay them back, or I can commit, make a legal commitment that I'm going to give something to someone and then I have to follow through, you know, as an honest man, you know, I have to follow through based on the commitment of my word. But when you put together the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah and the Ritva in Ksuvas, right, what emerges is that's not mostly midin neder. It's not midin eschaibos. It's midin the mechayiv, the ikar mechayiv of tzedakah, which is machsoram shalaniyim. In which case, what the Ritva is really saying is something sensational, and that is that I owe money to aniyim, that their plight, their deficiency is my problem. I'm obligated, not just, you know, as a mitzvah saseh. The mitzvah saseh is also a chi of mammon. And since it's a chi of mammon, there's kfiya, because it's not like other mitzvahs. The, you know, if the question is whether or not I have to do the mitzvah of dalad minim or build a sukkah, or blow shofar, or hear shofar, or whatever it is, right? So that's the din of kfiya l'mitzvos. And there we have a rule that if it's matan tzchor b'tzeda, in bezin shomata, muzarin allow. But that's because it's primarily a chovas sagabra, a chi of mitzvah. But what the Ritva is telling us is, this isn't just a chi of mitzvah, this is a chi of mammon. Of course a chi of mammon, there's kfiya. Right? Because that's what a chiyuv mamon is. It's a chiyuv, it's not just a mitzvah. How did it become a chiyuv? Let's take it a step further. I mean, the Ritva in Baba Basra compares it to a Baal Chov, and so does the Radvaz. Look at the Rambam in Perek Yud, Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, Halacha, I'm sorry, Perek Zayin, Halacha Yud, for a moment. That would probably be on page 3 or 4? I'm guessing 4.
Line 7.
Page 4, line 7. Ramam dat nesaniyim perek zayin halacha yud. Mi she'ena rotza liten tzedakah, whoever doesn't want to give tzedakah, o she'iten ma'at mi masher u'ilo, or he gives less than he should, less than is appropriate for him. Bezdin kofen oso, bezdin forces him. U'makin oso makas mardus, the amount that he's supposed to give, that they assess that he should be giving, they can force him into that. Where does that come from? Our Gemara. Right? Then the Rambam adds, "Biyardim l'nechasav." I hope we'll get a chance to speak about this. Rambam says, "Yardim l'nechasav." You can confiscate his property. Although he adds, "Befanav." Right? What about shalom befanav? Like, let's say he's been Medina Sayyah. Can you confiscate his property and pay his tzedakah bill? What's the difference between b'fanav and shalom b'fanav? And what are the parameters of b'fanav and shalom b'fanav? We'll get back to that. But either way, the Rambam is unequivocal that there is yiridah l'nechasav at least b'fanav, correct? V'lokchin mimena masharoi l'olitein. You could take what you need from him. U'mimashkin in all that tzedakah for the Rav Shabbosos. A faithful rendition of our Gemara. That's the Makar. Now look at the Radvaz, though. Radvaz is very much in the Ritvaz or the Ra'az orbit here. Look at Halacha Yud. This is what, page 4? What's the number now?
11.
11. Mishena Rotza Litein Staka, says the Radvaz, Bavavasa Per Kama, comes from our Gemara. Amarama Baravuam, Emashkin Al Tzedaka Pilaber of Shabbos, Eni Vaksiv Bakad El Kolo Chatzav, Amra Bitzak Bashmo Bamart Mishmed Rava Pilo Agaboy Tzedaka, Lokasha Hoda Amid Adlo Amid, Kod Rava Kafia, Rav Nasa Barami Vishakamine, Arba Mea Zuzu Tzak. Okay, I don't need to translate, that's the Gemara that we read before. Says the Radvaz, Behikshu Betosas, right? Tosas asked, "Akaim l'nkomet asay shematan tzchar b'tein bezin shematan mazor nalel." The harbe dvarim nemru b'teiritz kushazu. Okay, that is not an understatement, right? We had 4 answers in Tosas. We had 2 other suggestions already, 6, right? And then we had the Ritva. So we have 7 answers so far. So kein yirbu. So, but the Radvaz is like the Ritva, but with his own twist. Benirali, I'm sorry, Vanachon, first he says, Lefilashon Rabbeinu, I'm not sure why he thinks this. He thinks for some reason that according to the Rambam, the answer is Mishun, Mitztaka Yesh Balav Yase, Nasipatoch Tifkach, Tiftach Uksiv, Lo Ta'amitz Eslavavcha, Lo Tifkpots Esyodcha. I do not know why. What is there in this halacha, halacha yud, I don't know what there is in this halacha that the Radvaz associates it with the shita of the Ri, the enigmatic shita of the Ri in Tosas. I just don't know what that is. Strange. Okay. Anyways, he himself says, venerally, the shiny mitzvah saseh shel tzedakah, she yesh ba takana lianiyim. Very similar to the Ritva, right? Or the Ra'ah. She yesh maksorim shalaniyim. He's just saying it in the positive way. You know, the Ritva, Ra'ah are emphasizing, you know, you've got to do something. The aniyim are desperate. You know, the Radvaz is saying, it's a takana for the aniyim. That's just a mitzvah say for you. You have to do this because the aniyim are going to benefit from it. Bahare. What do you mean it's a chov alav? I mean it's a chi of mamon, like a chov. Like, he's like a bal chov. He's like a person who owes money. The ani is like a malve, and the nosein is like a love. Is that true? Wow. A malva and a lova means I gave you, there was a matmos, I gave you $100. Now you're obligated to repay me. I'm your balkov. The ani is my balkov. He never gave me anything in his life. Or at least, you know, all things being equal, maybe he did lamaisa, but doesn't have to have. Most of the cases he hasn't. How's he my balkov? Why do I owe him money? He didn't do me any favors. I'm not repaying him. I'm paying him gratis. Right? So what is takanas aniyim? Bareu kechovalav. Wow. The kofano solifroa chovo. This is a monetary obligation. The yordin lenechasav. Kasher osin. Lemi shemesarev lefroa hachova sharalav. Just like if, you know, I'm a debtor and I borrowed from the creditor can confiscate my property if I refuse to repay him when I'm supposed to, because he owes me money and therefore I have the right of collection. So too the ani has a right of collection from the ashir. That's what the Radvaz is saying. Teda. Also interesting. Shai b'kol mitzvos kulam nemar hanisayon. Right? Nesar rather hanisayon. U'b'mitzvos ha-maiser hutar. When it comes to maiser, the Gemara says u'b'chanuni, you know, na bazos. The Rebbeinu Shalom actually says, like, you know, try me. Test me to see, you know, if you're generous, you know, whether or not you'll benefit from. B'chanuni da bazos. That's a din in Meiser. Shenemar v'hebiyo es kol ha-Meiser u'b'chanuni na bazos. Bani Omer, says the Radbaz, this is like sensational stuff. Shegam b'tzdaka hutar ha-Nisayon. When it comes to tzedakah, test the Rebbeinu Shalom. So what emerges from the Radbaz and for the Ritva, B'Shem Arah, is that there's a difference between a mitzvah and a chiyuv, or chov, is a better way to say it. Of course it's a mitzvah of tzedakah, nasan titein, pasok, tiftach. But in addition to that, it's not just a mitzvah, it's a monetary mitzvah. And the mitzvah is not just to give, you know, like to, you know, take the dalad minim or to sit in the sukkah or to blow shofar. So give the money to the ani. The mitzvah is to treat the ani as if he is your baal chov, as if it's coming to him. He has rights to it. Or you're obligated to him because he's a member of Klal Yisrael. It's a very remarkable formulation of the mitzvah. So then, of course, it doesn't. It's an exception of mitzvah say shematim schar b'tei and ein bezit shematim muzar. Ein bezit shematim muzarim b'toras schar v'onish, right? You know, chiyuv mitzvah sagavra ben adam lechavero. I'm sorry, ben adam makom. But here there's a kfiya because the part of the mitzvah is that he has rights. You owe him. He has a claim on you. That's where the kfiya comes from, not from the content of the mitzvah, not from the fact of the mitzvah. That's very remarkable. So having said that, now I think it's possible to suggest a pshat in Tosas. What did Tosa say, the name of the Re? That the difference here is that there's a lav and an ase. What did we mention before? Logically, like, why should that change the equation? Number two, there are actual cases where there's a pair, an ase and a lav, and it doesn't seem like that's an exclusion that necessarily excludes the principle of mitzaseishas, not in skar mitzayna. It's like, what's going on here? I think that what Tosis is saying is something different. I think what Tosis is saying is the fact that there's a lav in tzedakah, not just a naseh, reflects these two aspects of tzedakah. That on the one hand, there's a chovas agavra, a kind of mitzvah bein adam lamakom, meaning you're obligated to take the dalad minim and sit in the sukkah and blow shofar, and you're also obligated to give tzedakah. That's between you and the Rebbeinu Shalom, or between you and yourself. However, there's also a lav. Why is there also a lav? Lo ta'ametzes levavcha, lo tikbotzes yadcha. So maybe the lav is not just the mitzvah. The lav is the source of the chiyuv, or the chov, and the status of baal chov. That's a din of machzorim shel aniyim, or takanas aniyim, which the Radvaz and the Ra'ah speak about. So Tosus wasn't saying every time you have an asay in a lav, you don't apply the principle of matan schar mitzeda. Tosus was trying to say what the Ra'ah said and what the Ritva said. I'm sorry, what the Radvaz says. But Tosus is saying, you see that principle. Interesting, the Radvaz was saying, oh, there's an afkamina and a reflection, if it's true, ubechanuni na bazos. Right? It's a different kind of a din. And maybe what Tosis is saying is there wouldn't have been a separate lab in tzedakah if it was simply a regular mitzvah saseh. the fact that it's a monetary obligation and that he has claims on you and you have obligations to him, right? That is reflected by the lav. And I think this may very well be indicated by other things. So, for example, if you look at the Rambam, in Hichos Matnas Sani and Perek Zayin, you know, Halacha Aleph and Beis, you get very different impressions, and you look at Sefer Mitzvos in parallel, you get very different impressions, subtle but different impressions, from the Asay of Tzedakah and from the Lav of Tzedakah. So look here on page 3, Matnas Sani and Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, what number is that?
Page 3, line 20. Did you have to read
that back? Zayin Aleph. This Asay, says the Rambam, Litein Tzedakah L'Ani. Kifi Masharoi L'Ani. Whatever the Ani needs. Right? That's Im Haisa Yad Hanose Masegas. Right? It's what he needs, but it's also what you're, you know, capable of giving. Shenemar Pasach Tiftach Etzchadchalo V'nemar V'echzakdebo Gir V'toshav V'chayimach V'nemar V'cheyachichayimach. All this is written as a regular mitzvah saseh. And, interesting, the pasuk of, this is something that the chinuch makes clear, but it's obvious anyway, v'echzak debo ger v'toshav chayimach, especially as opposed to the next pasuk, v'chei achi chayimach. V'chei achi chayimach refers to Jews. Right? V'echzak debo Ger v'tosha v'chaimach is referring even to a ger tosha, a non-Jew. So the mitzvah say includes Jews, non-Jews, not necessarily akum. There's a mitzvah tzedakah for an akum, but that sounds like it's mishum darkei shalom, mefarnesin aniyei, you know, yisraelim aniyei akum mipnei darkei shalom. But ger toshav sounds like it's a mitzvah Asay Doraisa. Compare that to Halacha Beis. Kolaroa Ani Mevakesh. First of all, Halacha Aleph is proactive, like any mitzvah say. Litain stakal aniyim. Right? You'd have to go out and find an ani, you know, mail a check to some, find some charity to give to fulfill mitzvah say. The lav is formulated in the Rambam as triggered by confrontation and the ignoring of that confrontation. So it's called a roa ani mevakesh. You encounter an ani who is demanding, and he has a right to demand. Vehelim einav mimenu velo nasan lo tzedakah. You know, it's not that you abstained from giving him tzedakah, it's you refused him tzedakah. The confrontation, right, completely changes the dynamic, you know, between the parties. This is not just like, oh, you squandered the opportunity to do a mitzvah. It's you basically bungled, forcefully were mevatel, you know, the din of tzedakah. What's interesting here is the language of the pasuk me'achicha ha'evyo. If you look at the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos, this is reinforced. This is at the end. This is on page 4. Mitzvah kuf tzadi hei. Where's that? The last two entries.
Row 21, page 4.
Line 21. It's written like every other mitzvah, very, the obligation to find the opportunity to do the mitzvah of tzedakah. Ulechazek hachalashim. Right? And to, you know, strengthen those who are weak, ulaharchiv aleihem, ukvarbat tzivu b'mitzvah zu b'milos mischalfos. There are different ways to say it. Amar yisale, right? a pasach tiftach as yadcha, v'omer v'echzak the boger v'tosho v'chaimach, v'omer v'chechichaimach, just like the psukim he quotes in Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph. V'kavanah be'elo alashonos kulam achas. And the kavanah, the intention, is the same in all these lashonos. V'hi shenazor anienu, we should help our fellow who happens to be our aniyim, right? Unechazkam de sipukam, and to strengthen their positions, what they need. Kvar zbar mishdein ditzazuv mekamatz rabim rubam biksuva subasra uba kabbalah shafil ani. This is very interesting. Shafil ani hamisparnes minat tzaka chayv b'mitzvah zu klamar tzaka. Interesting that in the assay, the Rambam includes that a fellow ani is obligated. I mean, of course he's obligated. Is an ani obligated to blow shofar? Is an ani obligated to do the mitzvah of dalaminim? Is an ani obligated to sit in sukkah? Anon is obligated to do one of the mitzvahs tayag, mitzvahs asay, nason titain, right? Pasach tiftach. Sure. But, what about mitzvahs asay, mitzvahs lo sasay, reish lamed beis? A mitzvah reish lamed beis, he says, yiron shalo limnoa tzedakah. Not, oh, you don't do tzedakah, you also get a lav. No, it's when you're confronting an ani, and here it's achenu, right? Yisha siranu shalolim no atztaka v'archave me'avyonim me'achenu. I suspect, and I think Minchas Chinuch says this as well, if I recall, that while the asei applies to a gertoshav, the lav only applies to achenu b'nei Yisrael. Only achenu b'nei Yisrael have the status, to use the language of the Radvaz, as a balchov. Right? Over us. Where Kol Yisrael Areivim Zelazeh is so powerful. So this is only Me'achenu. Achar Sheneida Chusha Sinyana. Once we know what their situation is, we can't, ignoring their plight is a slap in the face. Right? V'yicholtenu l'hachzik. Of course, it has to have v'yicholtenu l'hachzik b'hem. Meaning, the mitzvah say you have to find a way to do it, even if you're an ani chavero. Right? An ani chabero isn't obligated to help another ani on a lav level, just on an asay level, probably. Hu amaro yisale, lo tamesis levavcha lo tikva tisyadcha ma'achicha. It's me'achicha ha'evyu. Right? Not v'ger v'toshav v'chaimach. Zu azhara mi liknos midas akilos v'agzarios shetimona ma'asos ha'ra'ui. That actually is a little bit doesn't fit in perfectly with what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is that the lab of tzedakah is like a ben adam l'chaveru. It's not a problem. Just it's curious that the Rambam, instead of focusing at the end of the day about the rights and the needs of the of your fellow Jew who happens to be an ani and therefore who has the rights to, demand of you, he says zu azhara meliknos midas hakilos v'agzarios. He brings it back to a focus on yourself. Like, in a way, you're doing this for yourself. You shouldn't be cultivating, a selfish, miserly, posture.
Isn't that a Bein Adam Latzmo kind of idea? In other words, or Bein Adam Lamakom idea.
But yeah, I'm saying that's why I say it's a little bit.
I think it's all within the same. It's not about others. It's not a bin adam l'chaveru din. So it's two sides of the same coin. How I am is how I stand before Akash Baruch.
Yeah, that's why I think this is a little. This part is a little doesn't fit in so much to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is,
I think you can say it if it's how a person's midos stand before Akash Baruch in that sense. In other words, how my midos are to a person, okay, that's one thing, but these are midos before Akash Baruch. A person shouldn't have.
Well, I think what you would say, I'm not sure if this is what you mean, but I think in order to bridge the gap, between like Chayecha Kodmim and the fact that like in the end of the day, you really don't owe him money. You're giving him money, you know, gratuitously. So I think in the end of the day, saying that, you know, this is also good for you, it's not healthy, you know, for you to have an improper perspective on material, you know, goods, you know, and for that reason, you know, it's acceptable for us to perceive this as your duty. In other words, if, you know, we weren't interested also in cultivating, you know, a certain kind of persona, then maybe it would be more difficult, you know, to sell this purely as Ben Adam L'Chavero. But we can extend this to Ben Adam L'Chavero because, you know, to begin with, you know, your own self-interest, you know, is that you have an expansive view of that. So that's how I actually explain. I'm not sure if that's what you were saying, but what I meant when I said it was a little jarring was like, I'm trying to suggest basically that, you know, that the Aseh and Halacha Aleph is kind of more like Ben Adam L'Mako, and that, you know, Halacha Beis and Lav Reish Lamed Beis is more, you know, Ben Adam L'Chaber. But so that, you know, little peroration in the end, which is like very much, as you say, Ben Adam L'Atzmo, you know, so is a little bit surprising. But I do think that maybe the pshat is what I'm saying now, which is that, you know, the ability like to expand what constitutes, you know, your own economic self-interest such that his interests, you know, he has rights to demand on you, you know, is itself a function of what our attitude towards, you know, money and materialism is, namely that it has its role for sure. And there's something called bailus and all these things. But in the end of the day, if it's, you know, if it's going to reinforce, you know, selfishness and, you know, detract from, you know, the Ava, the Achva, and the Arvus of Klal Yisrael. So in the end of the day, since this is good for you too, in terms of negating Kilus V'Achzarius, you know, it's fine that it can redefine, you know, his rights or your right, your obligations to him. That's what I think is going on.
Could I make a suggestion, Rabbi Rosenzweig?
Sure.
First of all, it could be not. I'm not saying this exclusively, but it could be that the Torah insisted on having the Lav together with the Aseh based on the first Rashi in Parshat Tzav. Ein Tzav Aloshin Zivos Miad L'Doros. Pasal Tiftach is not always sufficient. So the Torah gave you a lav as well, because here it's obviously a case of chisoron kis, when a person gives tzedakah. So therefore the Torah loaded up additional ammunition to make sure that you give tzedakah.
Right. So, but what I'm trying to say, in Tosis at least, what I'm trying to say is, that there are some mitzvahs aseh and los aseh pairs where, you know, it's really about the aseh, but it's reinforced, or it's really about the lav and it's reinforced. I think that's the pshat in, you know, maybe Hanukkah or some of the, or, you know, those kind of habet, tabet, those kind of things, etc. Here I'm trying to suggest that what the Ri really has in mind and what the Rambam is formulating is that there are different mechayvim. I mean, there are different dimensions of tzedakah, one of which is captured by the essay, the other of which is captured by the law. And then what Tosis really means is, if this was stam, a mitzvah like other mitzvos, then you would apply the rule of matan schar b'tzeda. But because it's like the Ra'ah and the Radvaz are saying, it's also a chi of mamon, an obligation to support, and he has, you know, the right to demand of you, and you have the obligation to respond to him, you know, because of all that, that's different than the aseh. The aseh alone would have just been treated like any other mitzvah, like kamen avicha, the kamen
avicha, the aseh mecha. Well, I'm not denying what you said.
What?
I said I agree with what you said. I'm just giving you an additional...
No, I hear what you're saying. But according to what you're saying, it would be more like, as you say, piling it on, you know, to encourage it more, which I think is possible in general. I just, you know, for this Rambam and this Tosis, I would say... a little different. But I do want to say the following, and that is, it's very curious, you know, the duality in tzedakah. And I mean that in a dual way, the dual duality. Number one, there's a mitzvah saying, there's a mitzvah slosase. Okay, that's already a duality, correct?
Right.
The there actually are two psukim for the asay and two psukim for the los asay. Pasach tiftach, right? And
losan
titain.
Yeah.
And lo ta'ameitz, you know, levavcha and lo tikbotzes yadcha. So that's the second duality. But there's a third duality, and that is that, you know, in, on the asay side, and that is, you know, it's not just that there are two essen in addition to two laban, it's that the two essen also are double formulations, right? It's nason titain, right? And pasoach tiftach, which you might say is a further, and I think I agree with you, it is also, it's a further point of emphasis when you say, like, you know, nason titain, give, you know, open up, you know, pasoach tiftach, of course it's a point of emphasis. But that's like a triple double. Is that what they call it? Is that a basketball term?
It is.
Triple double or double triple?
I don't know.
Nah, I think the way you said you don't know, it sounds to me like you really know, but you don't want to admit it. That's fine. I'll admit it for both of us. So it's a meaning you have pasoach tiftach, nasom titain, right? So you have double verbs, pasoch tiftach nosen titain, two double essen, and then two laven. Like, that's just fascinating. Why is that? So I think a point of emphasis for sure. But in light of what I've been saying, maybe it's also a way of saying that, like, deeply, like, anchored or deeply, built into the core of the mitzvah of tzedakah is the idea that it applies, you know, that it's so part of its definition, right, that it's both bein adam lamakom and bein adam lachaveiro, you know, the meaning that there's both of these elements. So whenever you want to say it, you have to say it like pasoach tiftach, you know, even on the asay level, you know, nasam tite. And even then, twice, you know, and two lashonos of the lav, in addition to also needing lashonos of the lav. So I think it's very, and again, I think if you take a step back, that's one of the things that's really remarkable about tzedakah. You really find that tzedakah has two, and I think they're not totally separate either. That's really the idea, that they're connected, right? There are two elements. There's an aspect of mitzvah and also self-improvement, you know, and then there's a pragmatic part, which we all are much more familiar with, that is, like, you know, like the Radvaz says, Bishum Takanas Aniyim. So for example, you have the Gemara here in Bava Basra, which I put on page one on Dav Yud Amud Aleph, the famous Gemara, right? The Gemara says, second entry, Im Elokeichem Ohev Aniyim, who, if their Baruch Shalom really loves the, you know, the conversation of, you know, Rabbi Kiva and Tornus Rappus, you know, Harasha. So, im alokechem oev aniyim hu, like if their Baruch Shalom really loves the poor, b'pnei ma'ein u'mefarnesan, why are they poor? You know, amar lo, so this is a beautiful exchange. Rabbi Kiva answered him and said, k'dei shenitzal anu bahen midina shel gehenim, so that we will have the opportunity through, you know, the philanthropy and largesse, you know, for being kind, that will escape Gehenna. Meaning it's an opportunity for us to, you know, to express Tzelem Elokim, to, you know, put material owner, you know, goods, you know, in proper perspective, to use it in a way that elevates it, you know, and so on. So, like, you know, what right? He said, fascinating. He said, what are you talking about? If you support an ani, you're contravening the wishes and the will of the Rabbonu Shel Olam, because he made them poor. Lemaudome, lemelech basar v'dam, right? A king, shekos alavdo v'chav shulav beis asurim. He got angry at his servant and he threw him in jail. And he told the guards, you know, not to feed him or feed him meagerly. So somebody came along and he was feeding him. Right? You're violating the will of the king. Who's going to feed the, you know, the servant who's being the, who's imprisoned against the wishes of the king? So it's giving tzedakah is a violation of Ritzon Hashem. Right? Vatem kurim avadim, shenemar, ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. So that's Rabbi Akiva very beautifully. It's like, you know, Rabbi Akiva, no. Em shalcha mashal, l'ma'a davar dama, l'melech batzav adam shakas al b'no, v'chav shor b'beis asur. Let's say he got angry at his son, but he had to throw him in jail to teach him a lesson, but he doesn't want him to suffer. V'tziva lav shalol achiv v'shol lashkosa, v'halachad amachar v'chilu v'yishko. He's not going to, you know, when he finally reconciles with his son, or even if he doesn't, he's not going to be happy that, indirectly, you know, they're making sure that the that his son is in a viable position. Anu kruyim banim, nechsev banim atem l'Hashem Elokech. Very beautiful exchange, but it captures it a little bit, right? So it's another Gemara. Also, Davi Yudom and Aleph, Gemara says, "Kehod bnei Achtia de Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai." Right, the nephews, I guess, of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, chazu bechilma, the bo lemichsar shva mea dinre. They had a dream that they were going to lose 700 dinar, or he had a dream, sorry, that they were going to lose 700 dinar. So all year long, he's like pressuring them to give tzedakah, a sinu, right? Shoko minayu le tzedakah. He kept like, you know, he kept pressuring them to, he didn't tell them about his dream. He just kept pressuring them all year, give more tzedakah, give more tzedakah, give more tzedakah. Right? Pushka bayu shibsar dinri. By, you know, by the end of the year, they'd given away the whole amount minus 17 dinar. Pretty good. 700. Right? So 683 dinarim. Right? Could probably endow, you know, a classroom, something, you know, for that. So, Kimata Mali Yom Di Kippuri. So it was Erev Yom Kippur. So Shadr Be Kesar, right? Nuktinu. All of a sudden, these nephews get a knock on the door. You know, it's the government. And they want 17 zuz. They didn't know about the whole story, the nephews. So they were terrified. Like, you know, Erev Yom Kippur, the government knocks on the door and says, we're confiscating 17. Like, what kind of year is that going to be? So they told the story to the uncle, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Lo tidchalun. He said, don't worry about it. You know, there's nothing to fear. Shibsar dinri gabaychu shaklinu minaychu. You were destined to lose this 17 dinar. So Omri le mina yadat. So what do you? How do you know that? Right? Amalahu chalma chazoy lechu. All of a sudden, he told them about this dream that he had, and why he's been pushing them all year to give tzedakah. So Amalahu, they said to him, Amaylo amerslan denis vinu. You should have told us. We would have given the full amount. Better to give it to the tzedakah than give it to the government. Right? Even then, I guess, you know, governments were not the favorite destination of. Of largesse or so. Amalu, listen to this. Amina kehechad ta'avdu mitzvah lishma. He said, I didn't tell you all year because I wanted you to give tzedakah lishma, not because you knew you were going to lose it anyway. So again, Rabbeinu Bechai in his Karakemach, if you're not familiar, Karakemach is like an encyclopedia. That the Rabbeinu Bechai wrote like an encyclopedia, like terminology, terms, you know, and it's fascinating. It's Kisser Rabbeinu Bechai. So he wrote a Perush al Torah, and he wrote, you know, a few other things. He wrote a Perush on Avos and other things. But one of the things he wrote was called Karakemach. It's like an encyclopedia. So when he talks about tzedakah, he says there's a lechatchila of lishma in tzedakah. He doesn't quote this Gemara, but he just says it, and probably based on this Gemara. The Beis Halevi has a, in his Tshuvas, has a drasha on tzedakah, where he discusses, you know, whether it's, he says, should there be a din of lishma and tzedakah? Tzedakah is such a pragmatic din. Like the Sifrei in, I think it's Parshas Ki Tetzeh, says that, you know, if you're walking in the street and, you know, money falls out of your pocket and an ani picks it up and he benefits from it, so you get the mitzvah of tzedakah. How does that fit in with tzedakah lishma? I mean, the reason that that works is because you don't even know you did it. Maybe you wouldn't have done it if you could have done it. But, you know, at the end of the day, ben adam lechaveiro, he's benefiting from your money. It's still, you know, your to your benefits, your money, your hard-earned money. And it went, you know, to help this ani. So there are two, even instinctively, as I say, you know, mostly we think of tzedakah as ben adam lechaveiro. Right, and maybe not in as grandiose or ambitious way as the Ra'ah Ritva Radvaz, frankly, but nonetheless, you know, as an obligation to help our neighbor. We don't usually think about it in terms of lishma. We think about it in terms of, you know, nafal, you know, kiss, you know, baderech. Lishma is like more like a regular mitzvah. Benonam lamakom. We don't usually think of it as kadesha nitzol anu medina shogayim. We think we pat ourselves on the back and we think we're doing, you know, we're being very self-sacrificial. You know, we don't see it as an opportunity typically that, oh, this gives us a chance to, you know, to cultivate, like the Rambam says, to avoid midas sakzarius vikilus or something like that. But both of these aspects are true when you think about it. That's the real greatness of tzedakah, is that because you're really asking, on the one hand, you're using, you know, material, you know, possessions, which are, you know, gashmi, if you will, you know, muvhak in the extreme, you know, in a very unselfish, altruistic way. It's like the ultimate of, you know, taking, you know, the symbol of physicality, you know, ownership and value and so on. You know, so many people get tripped up with that. Oh, if kesef li yizba kesef, etc. Again, the Kliyakar was obsessed with that problem. But, you know, even if you're not, it's certainly an endemic issue for man. You know, and the ability to give it to someone else. If you can give it to someone else as if he's a balcho, as if he, you know, you owe him. Like you can, you know, so you're in the area where it's like most acute, your humanness and your material, you know, core. And you're turning that into something very different, you know, in terms of your own midos, you know, to be an altruistic and philanthropic type person, to be looking at your neighbor, you know, in a real arvus kind of a way, etc. So in the end of the day, it really is like the perfect amalgam of, it's really an interface between Bein Adam L'Makom, you know, the potential of Bein Adam L'Makom through, you know, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro and vice versa. And it really cultivates a whole different perspective on Klal Yisrael. So I think it's for that reason, every part of it is kind of bound up with this dialectic. So it's Pasoach Tiftach and it's Nason Titain, and there are two of them. And then there's two more on the lab side, you know, Le'yametz, you know, Levavcha, and Lotikpots Es Yadcha, you know, and then it defies some of the rules of Kviya, Matan Schar B'Tzedah, because of that. So it has a lishma component and it has a pure pragmatic component. Like osik, there's a din of osik mitzvah patur min mitzvah in tzedakah. You know, the Gemara says that a shomer aveda, there's a debate whether he's a shomer sachar or shomer chinam. So he's a shomer aveda. I mean, he finds an aveda on the street, he picks it up and he watches it till he can return it or till somebody will claim it. So why would he be a shomer sachar? He should be a shomer chinam. He's not getting paid. So the Gemara says, because of the principle of osik mitzvah patur mina mitzvah. You know, because while he's involved in the shmira, right, he's exempt, you know, from giving an ani a pruta, you know, knocks on his door. If somebody knocks on his door, and he's, you know, osek in the mitzvah of aveda, right? So he saves because he doesn't have to. So what osek mitzvah patur na mitzvah applies to ben adam lechavera or only ben adam lemakom? That's an interesting question. It would seem from tzedakah that it applies. Not everybody thinks it applies to ben adam lechavera. So is that because it's primarily a mitzvah ben adam lemakom, or, you know, I once saw one of the achronim as tshuva, like Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach, zecharon lebracha, that, you know, where he discusses whether an onein, you know, who's pater min mitzvos, is he pater mi tzedakah? You know, with pashtus, the answer is no, because it's a different kind of a mitzvah. But if the lav is noveya from the asay, or the, you know, the ben adam lechavero part, you know, again, you can't, you're not pater from paying somebody back money when you owe money, you know, because you're an onein. You're pater from, you know, you know, mitzvah asay, from, you know, from tefillah and kriyashma and, you know, and things of that sort, but you're not potter from, you know, you're not allowed to steal because you're an onein, and you're not allowed to delay paying back a loan because you're an onein. So it's a really interesting question what the status, you know, of tzedakah really is. I think the answer is it's dual and it's integrated. You know, it's really a, as I say, it's the ability to, if you do it properly with the right attitude, la'ir levavcha, that's why it's a mitzvah seishem matnas korban b'manu v'racha Hashem Elokecha, you know, and the attitude part really matters, because it's the ability in the area, you know, which is most material, right, to be most spiritual, like in your attitude. Okay, I'm going to stop here because, ooh, I went over time. I apologize. I just want to speak a little bit more about these different dimensions of tzedakah. Mir Hashem, next time, maybe I'll add a little bit of Mar Makomos, and then we'll continue. We'll either go back to Daf Hey, or maybe do a few more of these kind of sugyas here on Daf Tes and Yud, or maybe do some few topics in Kesavat, and I haven't figured out yet what we'll do next. Yeah.
Oh. Thank you.
Oh, that was a wave.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. So a good week to you all, and we look forward to continuing next week. Thank you.